This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Well, I guess everyone knows that Dave's back now because we didn't open up with you and I staring at a screen like last night. Although it seems that everybody got a kick out of that. I don't know why, but it was very embarrassing for me. Steve?
Like I said, I think it was the best and worst opening that we've ever had. For some reason, people really enjoyed that screw up. I found it to be entertaining.
It's his character. Gives us character. Yeah. You have to forgive me. Sure. I'm getting a little bit of a cold, so I sound very stuffy. So just bear with me on that. But hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you joined us last night, that was a lot of fun. We had Red's Rhetoric, Jared, and Team Skeptic answer Flat Earth questions from a couple of Flat Earthers in the... the accent and the what word am I looking for, Steve?
Style.
In the style. style of their favorite Flat Earthers. Well, not their favorite, the ones that I chose for them. That was another thing that I told them after we went off air. I didn't really have anything numbered. I was just totally lining up who I thought would do the best impression. It wound up working out. Like, they all did really good. I was really surprised by that.
Oh, Red's the impression of Super Rats was spot on. I don't think anybody could have done that even better.
But if you like that, we're going to do something similar. Last night was a test run. But we're going to do something similar, a little bit more involved tomorrow because we have Simon Dan is coming on. A lot of you people have been asking for him to stop by, so he will actually be coming tomorrow, and we're going to do something kind of similar to what we did last night. Wednesday, we have a discussion on prison reform, and that's going to be with Nicholas Lamar Sutter. He wrote a book, and it's a really cool topic. We hit on it a little bit this weekend with when we were on the DP, but it's a big issue that I think needs a lot more attention. So we're going to try to shed some light on that. And then on Thursday, Aaron Ra will be back here with us. He will be debating a Reformed Christian apologist. So they'll both be back here. And that's how we'll kind of wrap up the holidays before Christmas. And then we'll be back on the 26th. So we'll take Christmas Eve off and Christmas, and then we'll be back. So let's jump into and say hello to the two gentlemen that are joined with us. I forgot my paper, GE, where I had my tally marks, but I think you're at 80 right now. You're either 80 or 81. So,
well, I mean, when you were gone, I filled in for two shows, so I don't know how that factors in. Ooh. So it might.
Oh, you didn't count those. You forgot about those, didn't you?
So yeah, so that means 83. No, I didn't. I didn't count those in. So 83. Can we get him to 100 before the New Year's? Can we get him to 100?
Probably not.
All you have to do is just log in and sit down in the back, you know, just chill, work on your videos or whatever. But anyway, hello, yeah. Godless Engineer. Welcome back.
Hi. Yeah. So if anybody in the chat or watching doesn't know me, I'm Godless Engineer. I do a lot of, you know, either anti-religious or hate comments or flat earth or anti-science, anti-evolution kind of things that are the kind of things I do on my channel. Mostly response videos, but it, for the most part, it's just me responding to people on the internet. Oh, we also do our daily Bible podcast where we're actually reading through, Casey and I are reading through the Bible.
Which is excellent. You have to check it out if you haven't already, which, I mean, everybody here knows who you are and follows you already. Well, that's pretty much concrete. And then we have joining us, I didn't think that 2 days ago that we would be here, honestly, because I just happened to stumble across Brett's video to Godless Engineer, and I didn't know that you were back, Brett. So I was like, well, you know, GE comes on all the time. This would be, you know, a really cool talk, I think. So we literally yesterday put this together, and I'm glad it worked out. And welcome back, Brett Keene. If for those of you who don't know, Brett is well known for being the and I'll let you talk a little bit about it, Brett. But he was one of the first atheist YouTubers to actually, you know, have a channel and talk about atheism and go to churches and have conversations with people. So Brett, I'll let you introduce yourself the rest of the way, and you can kind of touch on that if you'd like, and let everybody know who you are and what you do.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Brett Keene. I'm happy to be here with Godless Engineer and the other two people that we have. My YouTube channel is Brett Keene, but if you were to search me up, you're most likely going to find 50,000 impersonator sites. So it's best to go to minds.com/Brett Keene, and you'll see my videos, find my channel there, and also a bunch of other garbage that I spew on there.
Okay. Welcome, Brett. So basically what this conversation stems from is Brett put a video out to Godless Engineer asking him a couple questions. And so I saw that and was like, this would be really good to bring on and just have the questions asked in real time. And then Godless Engineer can answer, and they can kind of have a back and forth. So Steve and I will be doing what we usually do. We'll be in the live chat and let kind of them have their conversation towards the end. I think Brett mentioned that he may want to ask us a couple questions, and that's fine. But at this time, Brett, you've got your questions ready, and we're just going to turn it over to you, and you can ask away when you're ready.
All right. Sounds good. Godless Engineer, are you ready?
Sure.
All right. My first question is, can you tell me about your first ancestor and what kind of organism was it as it came to life from spontaneous generation?
Ooh, going right for the crazy irrelevant question, aren't we? I mean, obviously I can't point to the exact organism. That's a ridiculous thing for you to want out of anybody. You know, I could point to Tiktaalik as, you know, being the first organism to move from water to land and everything like that. I could point to Australopithecus as being an ancestor of the human race. I could point to any certain animal in the past, and I'm guessing that you're not going to accept any of those as an answer, because I can't thumb the exact frickin' animal that eventually coalesced into me. So, I mean, I don't see the purpose in this question. And to me, it just highlights how much you don't know about evolution.
All right, fair enough. Are you ready for the next question?
Okay, yeah, let's get right to it.
All right. Do you believe your ancestors were shrews, ancient rats?
I do believe that a shrew-like animal was the origin of like most mammals now, I think. I mean, but I don't understand the process. Like, I don't understand this process just yet. Like, what's the point in asking that? I mean, I can tell you right now, evolution is a fact, and evolutionary theory has withstood against criticism, and I hold to evolutionary theory. So I don't know what these questions are supposed to accomplish, but it would help me to understand if you could tell me, like, where exactly is this going? Because these seem like irrelevant questions here.
Well, I like to hear people's opinions and views. I also do challenges to Christians, Jewish folks, Muslims. I don't know how many videos you went through on my channel, but I pretty much do challenge videos to everybody. I just like to hear what people think, what their view is about such. I have no hatred or agenda against evolution. I'm just curious your views on this, the questions I'm giving.
Well, I mean, obviously you do have an agenda against evolution. I mean, in your little questionnaire video to me, you seriously asked me if a human could fuck a primate and produce some kind of human primate hybrid. And that's just a ridiculous fucking question, Brett.
Well, I also agree that I think it's ridiculous, but Joseph Stalin actually tried to do that. He actually tried to get primates to mate with humans so he could create a a primate army. No kidding.
Okay. I feel like that's kind of a non sequitur thing to sort of bring it like that. I don't care what Joseph Stalin did. I don't care what anybody else did as far as all that goes, because that's not evolutionary theory. That's not what evolutionary theory says. That's not what any scientist would seriously propose.
Right. Okay. Yeah, good music. Rock and roll. All right, that's you guys ready for some more?
When someone says non sequitur on the show, Brett, like if somebody says that's a non sequitur, since our name's non sequitur, we play the hallelujah music.
Well, that's a lot better than some of the recordings I've heard. All right. Are we ready for some more questions?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Okay. Now remember, I'm just asking your opinion. I'm not going to like go crazy on you for how you answer. It's not really a wrong or right type of deal. But here we go. Richard Dawkins says you come from a fish. Do you agree with that?
Okay. again, with these nonsensical questions. So, no, I don't think that I directly come from a fish. Are fish or fish-like creatures part of the evolutionary chain? Yes, they are. But no, that again, this is another question. The fact that you're asking me it shows how much you don't know about evolution.
All right, if you feel that way, it is what it is. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in the possibility of a god or gods?
In the possibility? Sure. I mean, I haven't, there's no way that I can disprove God or prove that God does not in fact exist, you know, right. you know, in all cases. But I do think that like Yahweh, like the God of the Bible, any of the gods that we actually have definitions for, I'm definitely Gnostic on those. Those definitely do not exist. And we've been able to prove that, you know, they, simply don't exist. They all have like little requirement documents, that you can judge whether or not they actually exist by how they fulfill those requirements. So, the ones that the gods that we have definitions for definitely do not exist, but that doesn't mean that no gods exist whatsoever.
All right.
Like so in the ultimate grand scheme of things.
Okay. All right. Sorry for interrupting you. I apologize. You had said, to me, though, and I believe I had heard this in your video, you said that you're an atheist who lacks a belief in deities. But now you're telling me, as well as a worldwide audience, that you do believe in the possibility of God or gods.
You're mixing two things up there. Like, that's I believe that's an equivocation fallacy, maybe, because I do lack a belief in God. I don't believe that a God exists. So, I mean, me saying that I lack a belief in God is a completely true statement. But me admitting that I don't know if a God exists or not is an agnostic or Gnostic type of question. So, I mean, they're two very different like questions to ask, and you're convoluting both of those things.
Well, I didn't ask you that other point that you put forth. I simply said, do you believe in the possibility of God? Now, if you believe in the possibility of God, then therefore you can't lack a belief in God, not as long as you open up the possibilities and you're open-minded about it.
Okay, but admitting possibility doesn't mean that I actually believe in a God.
Okay, why do you believe it's possible then?
Well, because, like, I can't prove that, like, no pterodactyls exist at all, because that's not how logic works. So, I mean, like,
right.
I don't have all of the knowledge in the universe, and I don't know if we ever will be able to have all of the knowledge. So I accept the possibility that one may exist, albeit maybe we can never prove it. But we'll also definitely never be able to disprove that a God exists. But I can prove that certain definitions of God don't exist.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure that if I were to ask you if you believed in certain mystical creatures or ask you if you believe in fairy tales, you'd most likely say no, a resounding no. But when it comes to God, you believe in the possibility. Am I correct on this?
No, you're totally convoluting what I'm saying here. I'm saying that I do not believe in God, just like I do not believe in fairies or unicorns or the Loch Ness Monster or any of those things. I don't believe in them, but that is not a knowledge claim.
Okay. Do you lack a belief in gods or you don't believe in gods? Just to clear it up.
Say that again, please.
Do you lack a belief in gods, or do you believe that gods don't exist?
I lack a belief in a God. Like, I do not believe a God exists. I don't know how many different times I can say that. I mean, I could look up a thesaurus and figure out different ways to say it if you want me to.
It's fine. I get where you're going with. Sure, of course. I apologize if I've offended you. All right, the next question is, do you believe that holding to the position that God is possible, is that a rational, logical position?
I feel like it is logical, yeah.
Okay, so holding to the possibility of God is rational and logical. All right, thank you. Ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you explain how a non-sentient, blind, dead universe created living, thoughtful life?
Okay. First there was a Big Bang, right? Which wasn't literally a Big Bang. It was just a great expansion. Right. And then fast forward several like billions of years, and then you have the Earth forming, and then the Earth forms, and then a billion or so years later, all of the primordial stuff for life to happen is on the Earth. And then the one that I usually go with is the RNA world theory, where it postulates that RNA was first formed, and then out of RNA, DNA evolved eventually, and then eventually, you know, organisms started, developing in the vast diversity of life, eventually exploded. So, I don't know if that satisfies what you're trying to say here, but... I get that you're trying to harp on abiogenesis, and we don't know everything. Like, we don't know exactly how things happen. We do have scientific theories about it, which can be disproven, or proven false. But I don't think that that necessarily means that a god had to be the one to spark life or anything like that.
Well, I appreciate your well thought out answer. Are you ready for the next question?
Sure.
Okay. If a man drops a pill into your girlfriend or wife's drink, killing your baby, but not harming her, your wife or girlfriend, should this be considered a crime?
So if a person drops a pill into my wife's drink and kills our unborn child, you want to know if that's a crime?
Would you consider that a crime to kill your baby, but without actually harming her?
Would it be a crime for me to, like, I don't know, punch you in the face? Would it be a crime for me to assault you in some way? Of course it would be a fucking crime, but also crimes are, like, human abstract, like they're human things. There's no crime in nature. Like, a lion doesn't commit murder against another lion or something, you know. I mean, so these are human things. It's a really dumb fucking question for you to ask me. Oh, if somebody kills my unborn child, is that a crime? Yes, it's a fucking crime.
I think he's asking to draw a comparison for abortion, I believe. Would that be correct?
Very good.
Well, no, see, that's not abortion. See, abortion is voluntary, which I'm gathering that Brett probably doesn't understand that. Abortion's voluntary, and if somebody slips a pill into my wife's drink and kills our baby, it'd be the same thing as them walking up and kicking her in the stomach and us losing the baby. It's still a crime. It's still not because she wanted to be kicked or she wanted a pill slipped into her drink.
Yeah, but no physical harm is done to her in this hypothetical that we're talking about.
What?
Why is killing the fetus a crime for, or should be a crime according to you, if you don't mind?
I mean, you've assaulted my wife and our future family. I mean, we planned on having a family by the fact that we have chosen to keep the baby. So, I mean, like I said before, it's just like if I were to go and punch somebody in the face or something. I mean, you've essentially assaulted me and my wife.
Okay, but it's just nothing more than a collection of cells, correct?
I don't understand what that has to do with anything. Like however I define the fetus or anything like that. Like, I don't see how that really matters at all. I mean,
you see,
we intended to have a child. If something is done to where that child cannot be born, then it's an assault against me and my wife.
Yeah, you see what he's saying is that, like, right. If you have an if you have two people,
can we move on from this, Brett? I get that you hate abortion, but can we move on from this?
All right. Well, I just wanted to know, what is the difference between if your wife decided that she wanted to do this as opposed to some stranger who drops a pill in the drink? Why does it become a crime whenever a stranger does it, but if she gets permission, it's okay to kill a fetus?
One is consensual,
Brett,
the other one's not.
Brett, last fucking time I'm saying this. Do you understand me? Move on from this particular conversation.
All right. Now, you guys do remember you're the one that invited me on the show. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible.
Okay,
are we ready?
But you're not being respectful, Brett. I said move on from this conversation, and you kept on with it. That's not respectful.
Okay. If you witnessed an accident and you could only save one of two women, which would it be, a pregnant woman or a single woman, and why?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
If you witnessed an accident and could only save one of two women, which would it be, a pregnant woman or a single woman, and why?
I mean, I don't get the point in this question. It sounds like, I mean, it sounds similar to the, well, you know, if there's five people on a track versus one person on a track, would you throw the switch in order to kill five people or the one person? I mean, it's kind of an impossible question to ask. I mean, if I had the option, I'd save both people. I wouldn't want anybody to die. And I guess it would depend on the actual situation at hand.
Well, you understand this as well as I sometimes.
Why do you have to keep harping on somebody being fucking pregnant?
Well, it's just I got one question and the second one having to do with pregnancy. Most of them have been biological questions.
Okay, fine. I'll pick the one that's pregnant.
Okay. The last part of the question was why, though?
Why would I pick the pregnant woman? Well, it's fairly obvious that the pregnant woman wants to have a child. So therefore, I mean, I don't know. That would just be my personal pick. But I mean, I wouldn't think badly on a person that chose the other woman. I mean, I don't know what the situation, like, I don't get the point of this question. Like, it's a hypothetical and ridiculous question to ask here. It serves literally no purpose in this conversation.
Well, I'm trying to gauge your value and worth on people.
Okay.
Are we ready for the next one?
I value people. Okay. I value people.
Well, very good. Awesome. Are we ready for the next question?
I think we are.
Go ahead.
All right. Wonderful. This one has nothing to do with pregnancy, so we're good. Sorry to make you angry with the other stuff. How did nature predict that we required pain receptors and, most importantly, a mechanism that would release chemicals, DMT, that would soften the blow of death?
Why would nature do that? I mean, that's just how shit evolved. I mean,
yeah, I was curious about the process.
It's a survival mechanism.
Okay, how would nature be able to go? Where does the processes or chemicals come in that make it to where we have DMT chemicals in our head just as we're about to die? You know what I'm talking about? The release of endorphins as we're about to die to soften the blow of death. How would have evolution been able to do this?
Well, I mean, I still don't understand, like, the whole purpose of you even asking this. I mean, I get it that you don't understand, like, the intricacies of evolution, but, like, I mean, I feel like that particular thing is just a byproduct of us sensing pain and how our own biological systems have grown to overcome, like, pain or deal with pain or those particular systems. Like, I don't think that nature has a mind and created, like, something specifically to, like, soften death or something like that. Like, I think that that's just a byproduct of how right. things evolved.
And I agree with you. I agree that nature and evolution is not a sentient, conscious system. It is a process that happens over time. The issue, though, that I don't understand is why did nature create a nervous system in the first place? You do believe that
nature
your
didn't
ancestors
create anything.
Okay, well, however you want to put it forth. It was a process of nature. Why did it do this for it, though?
Nature is not a sentient being, so there's no, like, why did nature do this? There are reasons that you could trace back as to, you know, how those things evolved to be or, you know, what caused, you know, those particular things. But I, like I said before, I mean, it's just a, you know, a natural byproduct or a natural part of that system. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that it necessarily has to evolve that way. I mean, it could have evolved where, you know, that particular thing doesn't happen. just as easily. So, I mean, I don't understand like where you're trying to go with this. I feel like a lot of these questions are like, I don't know, I don't know what you're trying to gauge from this, or where, like, are you trying to gauge my knowledge on evolution with this question?
No, I actually had a good conversation with Aaron Ra, who I am aware has been on this show before, about this a while back. I'd say probably about a year and a half ago. And he actually thought it was a great question, and he said he'd get back to me on it. Maybe I could talk to him about it sometime. He actually thought it was a very interesting point. Why do we have pain receptors? Why do we have DMT chemicals that come into our brain to kind of give us a euphoria type of feeling as we're about to die? I just wonder. I don't know why it does it. That's why I'm asking you.
Okay, but I've never billed myself as like an evolutionary scientist or anything like that. Like, I know, like, layman's, I have basic understanding of evolution, but like I can't exactly explain to you like why DMT evolved to release, you know, at the moment of death. So I mean, I feel like, I mean, I get that you want to know, and I'm glad that you want to know, but perhaps maybe actually, like, I don't know, Googling or asking an actual evolutionary biologist. Jackson Wheat, he's pretty good here on YouTube, as well as who did we mention before? Stated Clearly, John
something. Shannon would be good too.
John Perry.
Jenny Q.
John Perry. John Perry. Those would be great people to ask. So if you really want to know that, instead of provide like sort of a gotcha question or something like that, I mean, I would suggest asking them.
Well, it's not a gotcha question. Like I said, the question isn't about what's right or wrong. It's simply trying to understand why this is the case. If you guys have a relationship with some scientist out there who may know this or have some understanding of it, I'd love to be able to have a conversation with them. I personally don't know any scientist. I live out in the country with rednecks here. We don't have that kind of shit down here.
Well, there's one in the chat now.
I live amongst the rednecks too there, Brett, and even I can find scientists.
Well, we can get that question to somebody.
Just somebody, Brett.
All right, I appreciate it. I can move on to the next one if you like.
All right.
Are we ready? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I could be heard, because you guys tell me my mic cuts off sometimes. All right, would you say that atheism is subjective or objective?
I really don't know what that question means. Like, I don't get how atheism can be subjective or objective, like, in any case, because, I mean, atheism is an answer to a single question, you know, do you believe in God? Or, you know, for some people, it's, do you think a God exists? I don't understand why you think that they can be subjective or objective. I mean, I think beliefs in general can be subjective. I don't think that any certain belief can necessarily be objective.
Well, usually subjective in its simplest terms is it based upon feelings? Is it based upon like a subjective opinion and nothing more? Or is it objective? Is it something that you hold as true?
I don't know. I feel like those are very poor definitions of objective and subjective.
So do you believe that you hold the... Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, Brett, I think that the question is fully... Steve, do you want to... I don't think that atheism can be... Like I was saying, I don't think it can be
it's a malformed... Yeah, it's a malformed question. Simply the fact that you're not asking if it's subjective or objective. That's dealing with propositions. If propositions are something that can be true or false, right? And if they're true or false, it's contingent upon a person's mind, or if it's independent of somebody's mind. You're asking more: is this somebody's belief? Is this based upon this their own subjectivity? Yeah, most of our beliefs are because of our own subjectivity. So I don't understand the purpose of the question.
Okay, I'll try to put it a different way. Do you believe that you hold a position of facts and evidence?
Yes.
Okay. Is your opinion about a God existing or not existing based upon feelings or facts?
I would say that it's mostly based on facts.
Okay. What facts do you have scientifically that a God is not compatible with this universe?
I feel like that's a poorly formed question because, I mean, not all facts are like scientific, for one thing. And but I would also say that I don't have to have scientific facts in order to be correct about, you know, how I feel about the God question or whatnot. I mean, there's literally no evidence for a God. That's the fact that there's, well, okay. So I know a lot of people have a problem with that particular statement. Let me go a little bit further into that. There's no good evidence for God. I get that a lot of people say that they have evidence. But I mean, that evidence is not good evidence and it doesn't actually prove that there is definitely a God. So I side with the facts, and the facts is there's no evidence that proves a God exists.
All right. Are we ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you agree that atheism affects your worldview and way of living?
I mean, yeah, I would say that it does.
Okay. Would you say that it has anything to do with how you view the universe, the world, your life, the way you live it, such as your code and morality?
I mean, I don't think that I changed morality, like, you know, when I became an atheist versus, you know, being a Christian. It didn't change like my moral code or anything like that. But like, I guess it, maybe it changed some like moral decisions that I may have went a different way on in the past, but you know, it didn't actually change like my actual moral code. I'm not sure if that answered your question or not.
Do you think that it changed how you value people? Like, obviously, you were a believer before becoming an atheist, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You probably held that people had intrinsic objective worth and value to them, but now you probably, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but now you see people as soulless, without a spirit, nothing more than animated hamburgers, chemicals that can reason, right?
I like how you just sort of presuppose like what I think, and you. I mean, well, I get that you're asking.
Correct me.
Well, I get that you're asking me, but you're going ahead and you're forming like an opinion about what I think before I've even been able to tell you what I think. Why can't you just ask like, what do you think about other people? Do you value other people? Yes, I value other people, and yeah, we don't have souls, but that doesn't mean that we're valueless.
Okay. Well, there's a difference between like a subjective value that you give someone as opposed to objective or intrinsic towards them. Like you believe that there's more to them than just the chemicals and the meat that they inhabit. Is there more to people than that? Is there more to love than just chemicals stimulated like biting into a candy bar?
I guess I don't know what you mean by, you know, being like, or feeling a way towards a person more than, you know, what they are. I feel like you're insinuating, like, do you not feel like there's a soul there? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I suspect because you say that you lack a belief in God, you're most likely not going to believe in an afterlife or a soul or a spirit. So I'm figuring it's probably going to come down to compact meat and chemicals. I mean, if I'm wrong, I feel free to correct me. I'm always willing to learn something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think that you're here to learn anything. I don't think that's the purpose of these questions or the questions in your video, which were completely different questions than the questions you've brought here tonight. So what? And so To answer your question, no, I don't think that there's a soul. I adhere to like evolutionary theory as far as social animals and how, you know, as a social animal, we place value on others that are part of our own species, as well as animals outside of our species, because we place value on dogs. Just because I place a value on a dog doesn't mean that, you know, that dog has a soul now or anything like that. Just the same thing as another person. So you can boil it down to just being a bag of meat and chemicals and reactions and whatnot. And while technically you could be correct on that, it's a lot more complicated than you're making it out to be.
And, all right, Brett, since we've been going for about 45 minutes now, let's shift gears and let Godless Engineer see if he's got anything that he wants to ask you. Do you have anything that you want
to? All right.
Put?
Yeah, I got something that I can ask good old Brett here. So the other day you put out a tweet that I'm incredibly interested in what you actually mean by this. And you say, "I find all atheists pointless and lazy thinkers. Anyone can try and deny things. Most atheists appear to be kids on social media or adults who usually seem attracted and videos directed at young, which is criminal, I might add. So, Brett, I will ask you directly, do you think that I am a pedophile just because I'm an atheist?"
Well, that's not exactly what it was pointing towards. There's a lot of videos out there where atheists have talked about how they get their morality from nature. There was a guy a while back called Dendrophilian. Have you guys ever heard of him? Anybody heard of Dendrophilian? Well, he's an atheist who pointed out that he believed that it was perfectly natural to be able to, how shall I say, have an attraction towards children and all that. So that's one of the reasons why I got the view. And plus, listening to Richard Dawkins say that there's different forms of pedophilia. There's mild, and then there's this. Apparently, he had created like a level system of whenever it becomes extreme or whenever it's okay or comfortable. That's the reason why I say things like that, based upon what I've heard.
So basically, if I understand you correctly, one or two people said something, and therefore it applies to the entirety of the atheist community, and you can label all atheists as being that way, which might I add is a generalization fallacy.
No, there's a lot of atheists that I'm friends with who are married. They are married to adult wives and girlfriends, or, you know, engaged to girlfriends and all that. So, no, I don't think that's about every one of them. But I do notice that a lot of podcasts, I don't know much about you guys' podcasts, so I can't say much about it. You guys seem very cool. I appreciate your time. But a lot of the podcasts out there seem to have about drugs and substance abuse, and also a lot of them seem directed at younger audiences as opposed to like older folks. And I find that kind of unusual.
How exactly do they target young folks?
Well, I mean, you really want me to go through different examples on YouTube like this? I mean, you've seen the videos where atheists got like, okay, well, you got atheists who've got like posters of drugs on their wall. And yeah, you can see whenever if you come over to the live chat and you're watching what's happening, you can see that there's a lot of young people who watch it. I mean, I think that a couple of you guys were on one of those podcasts just yesterday. I think it was yesterday or was it the day before. Drunken Peasants. You got a guy who's like, what, over 30 years old, wearing a cartoon mask and putting animations up on the screen repeatedly. Obviously, that's going to be directed towards young people.
Okay, I would love for you to explain to me how you can determine age from a chat.
Well, it's easy when it's filled up with things like poop balls and Pokemon and all that. I suspect that's probably not going to be Sam Harris doing that.
I seriously doubt you had a live chat or you saw a live chat where it was just filled with poop balls and Pokeballs.
Right. If you go over to like Drunken Peasants or something, or Deep Fried Fat, you see poop balls all the time. I've watched their podcast a couple times. Sure.
Okay. So again, one podcast or one group of people in the atheist community does something, and therefore the entirety of atheism or the atheist community does it. Because you said in your tweet here, most atheists are adults who usually seem attracted to young kids, and they market young to audiences. Young kids.
Yeah, it seems like that from my that personal experience to, what I've observed.
Huh?
Attracted towards an audience, like a musician will be attracted to a certain genre of audience for their type of music.
Well, okay, then why did you say that it's criminal? Because directing content towards children is not criminal at all. But in your tweet, you say that it, which is criminal, I might add. So it seems like it's what you're saying is that most atheists are pedophiles who direct videos towards their victims being the children.
No, there are some states in the United States of America where drugs are not legalized and all that. I was talking about the fact that they have the posters up on the wall. Some of them actually do bongs and everything else right out on the video or podcast that they're doing. Okay. So that's pretty much, I don't know how any more to answer that. Are you ready for some more questions?
Did you finish asking what you need to do? I kind of want to balance out the time. So,
Okay.
Do you have any more that you want to ask, G?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't come like prepared with any questions necessarily, but I mean, I am just kind of curious, like, why on earth would you ask such weird questions in your video to me? Because, like, I get the whole mind questions and, like, you think that God is necessary for a mind kind of thing. But, I mean, like, in the video you asked me, is it okay for people to fuck dead bodies? And it just seems weird to me.
Oh, the necrophilia, like, question, yeah.
Well, yeah, so I'm just kind of curious, like, why would you, like, levy that question, like, at, like, why is this something that needs to be brought up? I mean, I don't see the purpose in it, like a lot of your questions.
Well, it gives me an idea of how people value the dead. Obviously, since you were a believer, you probably realize that whether it's Muslims or Christians or even Jews, they usually see death as very sacred, especially with the body, and they go through rituals in order to preserve or do whatever they feel they need to do, such as bury, burn, whatever the case. But with a non-believer, I would think that you'd probably see it as more than an empty shell or a husk. It's really no more. That person doesn't exist anymore. So I was wondering if you had an issue with violating it, if the person gave consent while they were alive, that's what their will and testament would be. You see?
Okay.
All right, well, we ready for some more? I mean, he said he didn't bring any questions. Hold on,
it's still my time. Okay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
So I'm kind of curious, why is religion like content with, or why is religion's content directed towards kids and that's not criminal?
Well, if there are Christians out there, which there have been, as well as priests and all that who have abused children, I think they should be buried under the very churches that they've done it in. That's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm.
No, they shouldn't be buried underneath the churches. I feel like that would be a very morbid thing to do there, Brett.
Right. It's just a term out there. Obviously jailed and do what time they did for the crime.
Okay. Well, I mean, how do you feel about the predatory nature of religion now? Like, I mean, predatory on both towards children and also towards the people that they court.
Well, I've made videos about this before. I'm sure you haven't had a time to go through it, but I go so far, not even just with the pedophilia issue that you're talking about or abuse, but I don't think that religion should be taught in public schools. I think that if you open the door for Christianity, then you got to open the door for all the other religions as well as non-belief systems. And I'd prefer it to stay, how shall I say, they learn what they are required there. And if they want to learn about faith, they can go to a mosque or a temple or a church. I mean, that's the way it is. I think that young people, they need time to be able to develop before they start getting into the big questions we're kind of goofing around with right now.
Okay. So what would be your best evidence that a God exists?
Well, I think that the, by definition, the universe itself is supernatural.
Okay.
That's if you go with the view of the Big Bang.
Can you explain a little bit more?
Sure. As Stephen Hawking, according to his mathematical equations, he was convinced that the universe had a beginning. Carl Sagan agreed with him. A lot of scientists today, as well as the majority of the human race, agree that the universe had a beginning. Well, in order for this to be the case, whatever the source was that created the power and energy that is known as the universe and our limited reality that we perceive it, we have to realize that if time and nature and matter had a beginning, whatever the source was outside of space, time, and nature in order to direct the cause. Now, if you want to attempt to give a naturalistic explanation, which I don't know how anybody could, if it's outside of nature, it would have to be defined as supernatural. So that's one of my points. The only thing I can think of that someone could argue is, well, which God is it and all that? My priority is just to open people's mind that perhaps this could be the cause, a prime mover.
Okay, but there's nothing that actually connects like the universe to a prime mover. Also, I would say that you're kind of convoluting like the whole supernatural concept there because, I mean, granted, at the beginning of the universe, it was all compacted into one thing, and then there was that great expansion of the universe, at which point space and space-time, you know, began to exist. But that doesn't mean that all matter and everything is supernatural. Supernatural just means that it's above the natural. It's out, like it works outside of reality, and obviously matter is in reality. To, you know, what happened before the Big Bang or the great expansion of the universe doesn't affect what happens afterwards. So there's no way whatever was before could be considered supernatural.
Well, the definition of supernatural is something that is beyond or outside of nature as we know it in reality. So if that is the case, whatever the source or the cause or the prime mover, whether you believe it's a natural or non-natural thing, it's going to fit nicely into supernatural. It's outside of nature and time. Nature and time and space had a beginning, therefore the source would have been outside of it. It's okay, a cosmological argument, basically.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's just moving the goalpost and pushing God into, you know, into the gaps of our knowledge. That's all that is. And so, I mean, that's not a compelling argument whatsoever.
Well, I'm not saying that the position is based upon facts and evidence. I've never been to the beginning of the universe before. I obviously have a faith-based position. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to drive home that I've got the facts and evidence here. I'm sure some Christians would probably do that. I'm not going to.
Okay, so that's good to know. So your belief in a God is not based on facts and evidence.
I can't provide you God on a platter any more than anybody else could. Just like if I were to ask you to give me some kind of physical observable evidence of the Big Bang, you're probably not going to be able to take me back to the singularity. You'd probably give me cosmic waves or some radiation and suspect I'd go from there, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, God is supposed to have an effect on this reality, correct?
Right.
Right. Well, if God is supposed to, you know, have an effect on this reality, then we should be able to detect him and have empirical evidence that he actually exists. Like, for instance, you just said that the Big Bang, we can't detect the Big Bang, or we can't, you know, go back and tell and see the Big Bang, but we can actually see the Big Bang. I mean, the WM map has produced an image of, you know, the expansion of the universe. So, I mean, we literally have pics. So, right. I mean, that's one thing that your God doesn't have, is any kind of evidence whatsoever to suggest that he actually exists.
Well, you, being that you were a believer before, you probably realize from what you've read, what you studied and researched, because you sound like you're quite researched on this, you know that a lot of people are going to claim personal experiences. But I find that it's pointless to try to tell you, hey, there's a lot of people out there who've had it, because if you didn't have the experience, you're not going to be able to find any investment in it whatsoever unless you have the experience yourself. So I didn't feel I wanted to waste your time with that.
Okay. Brett, if I claimed that there was a flying pink elephant with a 10-foot dick that flew around all over the place doing stuff, and I had no evidence whatsoever to say that that was actually real, and all I had was faith, does that make that big dick elephant real?
A flying elephant, you say?
Flying big dick elephant. The All big right. dick part well, is very important.
To me, right, it sounds to me like you're describing Dumbo, and if you want to take me to go see that movie, we can, but you're buying the popcorn. It's expensive these days.
Mm-hmm. No, see, Dumbo's not big dick. Also, Dumbo was a story that was made up. I'm talking about a pink elephant that flies around and does magical shit all over the place through its 10-foot dick. So I'm saying, if I don't have any evidence to suggest that it was actually real, does that make it real?
We like penis here. We're penis
friendly. I would most likely do like the natural man and say I have not had the experience of seeing a big dick pink elephant flying around, so I'm not going to hold
your position unless you see.
You seen some big dick pink elephants before?
Well, you could say that.
No, I haven't, but awesome. My point is that your particular, like, for you to say that God does exist or whatnot, I mean, it's just like me saying that there's a big dick pink elephant out there. I mean, if I don't have empirical evidence for that, then, I mean, there's no way that I can say that that's real. But I feel like you're saying that God definitely is real and he does exist, even though you have literally no empirical evidence to suggest that he actually does.
I'm pretty sure if one of my questions was, do you believe in flying pink elephants with big dicks, you would have probably gave me a resounding, oh, hell no. But I asked you about the possibility of God, and you said you were open to the possibility. Why? If it's no more valuable than a big-dicked elephant.
Well, I'm asking you about the whole big-dick elephant thing. I mean, you know, if you told me that, I would say, no, I don't believe in it. Am I going to rule it out right. as a possibility? No. I mean, there's a slim to no chance that that's possible, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I have direct evidence that that is not happening. All I can say is I don't have empirical evidence that that is an actual thing.
Well, you are right.
And so there I'm not going to go around saying that that thing is an actual thing. I mean, do you understand?
Right. And if we live in an expansive universe, which is what is proposed, and evolution is true, as you say, then perhaps there is some kind of strange mutated elephant out there with the huge mutated dick and pink and all that on some planet. I don't know. I haven't seen one. I'm open-minded to it, though.
Okay. So
I really want to be
you said you were open too.
What?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say that I really hope that the 10-foot penis is a true thing. I was just interjecting my perviness.
So my next question, then we can go back to you asking questions, I guess, or we can do super chats or something. But I'm wondering, like, how do you feel about, like, homosexuals or homosexuality?
Well, obviously, you know, because you're a believer, that in Scripture it says that it's an issue, it's considered a sin. However, it also says that people have free will to do what they want to and choose to live any way they like. It's not my place to be going around telling people that they're not allowed to be happy or marry or love who they may. Do what you will.
Okay. So that didn't actually answer the question of how do you feel about homosexuals. I get that you're pulling from Scripture, but does that mean you feel like they need to be, like, killed? I mean, because that's in the Scriptures. Do you feel that they need to be jailed for it? I know that you feel as though you shouldn't be dictating their behavior, but do you think the government should be dictating their behavior? Because these are all positions that Christians hold. And obviously there's a progressive Christian side that feels like, you know, homosexuality is not a bad thing. So I'm asking you directly, how do you feel about homosexuality? Is it a bad thing? Is it something that needs to be regulated by the government? I just want to know.
Now, the only time that I can think of where I'd have an issue with homosexuality is when people are in prison and they rape each other to death. That's the kind of things that I'd be against. But just your standard homosexual trying to live their life, do their thing, I've got no issue with them. I hope the best for them. I hope they have a happy life. I've got friends that are homosexuals, and I appreciate their friendship.
So, I mean, I find it interesting that you can identify consent here, but in the previous discussion that got a little heated, you couldn't actually identify what was consenting and what was not. That's a little odd, but okay. So you don't have a problem with homosexuals or homosexuality in general. No. So I guess you're fine with homosexuals getting married.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't necessarily awesome. Mean that God's. That doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to share the same opinion with me, aren't it, though?
Oh, okay. So it's fine, but they're still burning in hell.
Well, I'm an annihilationist. I don't believe in Dante's Inferno hell. Didn't you hear my video about that?
No, I do not watch all of your videos.
Okay. Okay. Now I believe, I do believe there's a second death, and I believe in the annihilation of the soul. I don't think someone's going to be tortured for all eternity and be resurrected over and over where they're going to squeal and scream and all this kind of stuff. But nope, that's not my view.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I don't really have any other questions, so I don't know if you've got some more, Brett, which I know that you had like 30 questions in your video.
Yeah, I got some more questions, and I appreciate you taking the time out to do your best at it. If you don't know the answer to something, I'm not over here with the notepad said, oh, that's a point for me. That must mean God exists. I'm not doing it to you. I'm just wanting to hear what you think.
Okay.
All right, you ready for a question?
Yeah.
Okay. If you've seen someone get shot or wounded fatally and they had 2 minutes to basically pass away, you don't have time to call the police or an ambulance or something like this, and the person's last request was that you pray to God for them, would you do it?
I don't think that I could. I mean, it would be an empty gesture. I mean, it doesn't matter if I actually believe in a God or not. I guess it does matter if I believe in a God or not, because it God wouldn't listen to my prayers depending on who that person was. So, I mean, it would be an empty thing for me to do.
So you would tell the person, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. That's just an empty gesture.
I don't think you can really answer that question, though, Brad, you have to be in that situation. I don't think anybody can say what they would do in that situation.
Well, I've talked to a lot of atheists in my hangouts where some of them have actually said, yes, I would do it. Some of them have said they've worked in nursing and they've watched old people pass away and they'd prayed with them. Even though they didn't believe in it, they felt like it was some kind of way of comfort. Now, if an atheist doesn't want to do it, I understand either way.
Okay.
If it comforts somebody and they ask me as their dying wish, I totally would do it.
Ultimately, the Brett G has a good question. I think he raises a good point when he asks what, where you're going with that direction. Because I mean, like I said, I don't think you could really answer that question until you're in that situation. But if an atheist does pray with somebody as a nice gesture before they pass away, I mean, what does that prove?
Right.
I just want to know what someone would do if they were in that position, how they'd handle it. I've heard some atheists say, no, I'm not going to give fairy tales to someone who's dying. And I've heard some say, well, this is what they want. This is what will make them happy. And it's the last minutes that they'll ever be able to, feel love or kindness or any kind of embrace of humanity. So they would do it because they believe that God and speaking of it would bring joy to a person.
Okay. But I mean, what is, I feel like the actual question that Kyle was giving was like, what does it prove to you about me? Like, what purpose does this serve?
I just, I enjoy hearing people's opinions and views. You'll notice whenever I challenge Jews or Christians with my questions, I will not usually make a video right afterwards and say, you're wrong, you dumbass, let me tell you why. I don't do that. I just ask the questions and then hear people out.
Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, I guess the ultimate answer to your question is that I wouldn't feel comfortable praying with them because I wouldn't have my heart into it and it would just be basically lying to them. Now, if I could find somebody else that is indeed like a Christian or believes in that particular faith or whatnot, yeah, but I think that the only thing of meaning that I could actually provide that person would be to be with them right there and not let them die alone. I mean, if they wanted to pray to God or something like that, I'm not going to leave or anything. I'll stay there with them while they prayed, but I just feel like me praying would just be an empty thing to do. And I don't know. I feel like it would be a little disrespectful to them. I get that other people feel differently, but that's just how I feel.
Brett, let me ask you a question since we're pushing on a little over an hour here. So that we can get to like a good place of like some meaningful dialogue here. Do you have any questions that aren't hypothetical? Like, do you have any direct questions that don't serve a basis in the hypothetical realm? So that way there may be an actual kind of a back and forth between the two instead of the situations where we really ultimately can't know what we're going to do until we're in that situation.
Well, a lot of my questions are hypothetical. A lot of them are, I've got a lot of scientific ones. I've got ones that are based around kind of moral issues, that kind of stuff. We could try something scientific if you like.
Well, actually, can I piggyback one question off of that last discussion real quick?
Sure.
Okay, Brett. So Brian Stevens in the chat actually asked, would you pray to Allah if someone's dying? So if there's a Muslim that's dying in that particular situation, would you pray to Allah for that person?
I believe that Islam is a part of the Abrahamic faith. So that would mean that they are all praying to the same God, even though they have some different views and literature on it. So it wouldn't be really an issue because Allah means God anyway. So I'd be doing pretty much nothing against my views.
Well, yeah, and I get that they all stem from the same God, but you, like the God of Islam is described very differently than the God of like Judaism and other things. I mean, do you understand the differences there?
Well, from what I've read, the God shows mercy, it shows compassion, but it will also, if it's angry, it will commit genocide and do horrific, wrathful things. So I don't really see a difference between the personality. What I do find a discrepancy with is clearly how they view Jesus in the Quran compared to what the Bible says and how he died. That's really, as far as I'm concerned, they all tell a lot of the same stories of what happened with the prophets. Not much difference for me, at least.
Well, yeah, but I thought that the linchpin in Christianity was that you had to believe that Jesus was God and he came and died for your sins. I mean, I feel like if you prayed to a God, even if it's a derivative of the same God, I mean, he has different, like, requirements for, like, praying to him, different requirements to adhere to, different requirements on the faith. Like, praying to that, I feel like praying to that God is different than praying to the Christian God, just because the requirements are specific to each religion.
Yeah, there's definitely some differences in how they pray. Christianity has a certain way that you propose that you do your prayer, and then the Muslims, they do like five prayers a day where they put their forehead to the ground. Sure, the Jews also have different forms of prayers. Some of them pray up against the wall. I agree with you on that.
Okay. So I guess just pick any random question that strikes your fancy off of your list to, I guess, round this out.
All right. Do you believe in spontaneous generation? Told you I'd go for some science stuff.
Spontaneous generation. I guess you're just talking about like an organism just appearing out of nothing.
Something from nothing.
Non-life becoming life. You know, whatever the spark may be there.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's abiogenesis, and I've already covered that in this discussion. I mean, we don't know all of the finer things about how abiogenesis came about. There are really great theories out there surrounding it, I wouldn't be able to explain to you exactly how that did. Although I will say that I feel the best explanation is the RNA world theory, where RNA formed and then eventually evolved into DNA.
Brett,
we have individual bits of evidence that show how RNA can transition to DNA and can start building, biological machines, biological organisms. So I feel like that is the best explanation that you can come up with.
But Jesus has said that he adheres to evolution. We haven't heard what you think. Like, what is your belief about how we came to be?
Well, I hold a faith-based position, obviously, as I pointed out. I do believe in the theory of the Big Bang and the expansion of the universe. I don't know if you guys realize this, but it was actually a Catholic who proposed the theory over to Einstein, who Einstein originally believed that the universe was eternal, but he looked at the equations and the Catholic was correct, and then Stephen Hawking later on established that this, at least for a majority of humanity, was considered that of a fact, that there was enough information in what we see that that's the deal. You guys knew that a Catholic came up with that, right?
Yeah, but that back then I
don't see what the point in bringing that up is. Like, I don't understand, like, why mention that, other than like a fun fact kind of thing.
All right. Oh, I thought you guys would find it interesting. I like it.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
Did I mention Stephen Hawking's an atheist?
Well, you haven't told me what you think, how we got, like, do you adhere to evolution? Are you a a young earth creationist? Like, I don't know your your fundamental beliefs are.
I believe the universe is very old. I also believe in the possibility of the multiverse. I also believe in some of the ideas Carl Sagan put forth, that there may be parallel dimensions and higher dimensional entities and all that. Carl Sagan was one of my favorite scientists. Like I said, though, this is faith-based. I'm not claiming I can throw some facts at you or something like that with it. I just find it interesting. I'm not a young Earth creationist. I do not believe the Earth is flat. I think it's pizza-shaped, personally.
Makes sense.
Joke. Oh, makes sense. I thought you'd get a laugh out of that. Not a young Earth. Go ahead.
You don't believe in that, like the Adam and Eve story, that's just allegory. It's just a literary part of the Bible, right?
Well, I believe that the Genesis story, it has a lot of very powerful meanings to it. But I don't have to subscribe to it. If a religious person wants to come along and argue with me till I'm blue in the face and why I ought to see this as a, how I should actually interpret it, then I will listen. I'm very open-minded. But at this point, I just see that it's got a lot of very important. I mean, when you read the New Testament, you see Christ repeatedly told these simplistic type of stories in order to make a point to his audience, listeners. So I don't figure it would be difficult to assume that God would also do the same for people back in the day before the Son of God.
Here's what I see. And what, based on a party that's not been in the conversation and been listening from the outside, it seems to me that you have gotten a version of religion that is, it's all about comfortable in what feels right to you. You know, like you can accept that Allah might be the same God as the God that you pray to, or you don't like, you know, beating up on the gay, so you're not going to do that. It's almost like you're like religion a la carte. You're putting together a religion based on the things that you feel comfortable with and the things that you want to accept, but not really adhering to like one set, doctrine.
Oh, there's one of the many. Oh, sorry, sir. There's a lot of things biblically as well as historically that bothered the living shit out of me. I believe things to be true, but it's still extremely uncomfortable for me. I can give you some examples. I know a lot of atheists, you spend a great deal of time making videos about how mean God is in the Bible. Well, I too am bothered with some of the damage, destruction, death that's done. The difference is I actually believe that many of these things actually happened, but it does make me uncomfortable. So there you go.
Okay. What, name one thing in the Old Testament that you don't think is a literal thing that happened?
Let me see. You're asking me to name something in the Old Testament that I don't think actually happened.
Yeah, like is there any one thing or huh?
Well, there is some issues I have with, like, and a while back this actually got me in trouble with a fella that I seen that you guys had on your videos before, Kent Hovind. I have an issue with some of the things that it represents in the flood story with Noah. I don't have an issue with a guy making a boat and getting some animals on it, but it's represented as it gives the idea and people get confused thinking that it got all of the creatures upon this boat. I don't believe that because like 80 to 85% of the creatures that exist on this earth, at least nowadays, come from the ocean and the sea. So obviously they would not have needed to go into the boat.
Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, early in Moses's leadership, I want to say it was Moses's brother, his two kids accidentally, used the wrong incense, I believe is what it was, in order to praise God. And God ended up shoving two fireballs up their asses. They lit fireballs. Or something like that. Huh?
I don't recall fireballs.
Well, he spontaneously combusted the two children of Aaron, Moses' brother, because they used the wrong fire to light the incense. Is that a true, legit story that happened?
To be honest with you, I don't recall that specific one. You'd probably have to open it up, give me the passages and verses, let me look it over in order to review it. As you know, the Bible has like 70 to 80 authors, depending on if you believe in the Apocrypha. I can't remember every single passage. I wish I could. It'd be photographic memory.
Well, I mean, I've just started going over the Bible again this year, and I mean, that's one of the things that really sticks out in my mind. I mean, I'm sure I could search right now and bring up the actual Bible verses, but yeah, God, you know, if that did happen in the Bible, huh?
Okay.
I have it here. Leviticus 10-12, God burns Aaron and sons to death for offering, quote, strange fire. Yeah, strange fire.
I don't think I know what strange fire is. Fire just seems to burn as far as I know.
It's very peculiar. Still,
You guys do realize
I'm not a priest. I'm not like some guru like Kent Hovind claims to be. I'm just some typical asshole on the internet. You guys realize that, right?
Well, no, I understand that. But, I mean, you asked me a lot of questions that were out of my realm of expertise. And so I feel like asking a Christian about the Bible and the morality contained within it is not really all that far outside of.
Well, I refer to myself as a theist. I refer to myself as a theist, but there's a lot of things in the Bible as well as the Quran and Judaism that I go with. There's also some tenets of different religions that I also am in. That's the point of theism.
Okay, so do you think that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and absolved humanity of its sins?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, it's not as controversial as spontaneous generation. I mean, if you believe in spontaneous generation, you believe every life form that ever exists came to life from non-life. So why would it be difficult to think Jesus could do it?
So wait a second. You think that a Jew that was supposedly crucified, died, rose 3 days later, and absolved the sins of all of humanity is not a controversial topic? I mean, I would agree on my side of it. It's not controversial because that's ridiculous to even sort out. Like, we know that didn't happen. Okay? I would go as far as to say that we know that that didn't happen.
Well, that makes you a Christian.
Well, I don't like to label myself Christian because I'm not deserving of the label. Can you guys give me a moment real quick? I've been drinking a lot of coffee, and it's starting to give me a French vanilla shut your ways. You know what I mean? Can you give me one moment?
Sure, Brett.
Sure.
Go ahead. All right, I'll be right back. Be right back, guys.
All right. With the labels thing, though, that by definition would make him a Christian. I mean, if you believe that Jesus arose from the dead, that's literally the requirement to be a Christian.
No, I don't think so. Now, you can believe Satan would. They would argue Satan believes that doesn't make Satan a Christian, right? Just because you believe that happened doesn't mean you're actually a follower of Christ. And the most Christians I would know would advocate the position that to be a Christian, you have to not only accept certain things like the divinity of Christ, but actually follow the teachings of Christ as well. That's the narrative that I have.
If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead and absolved
spontaneous generation,
but what I'm saying is, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you obviously are looking to believe in that person because you think that they rose from the dead. So that makes you a Christian. That's a Christian.
I technically said that, you know, died, rose 3 days later, and absolved humanity of their sins. So, I mean, that kind of insinuates an adherence to, like, Jesus and his teachings, at least, because part of Jesus' teachings is that he is like a part of God, and at least he has the ability to absolve sins and everything. Like it kind of denotes an adherence to the theology.
What he's doing is something similar to what somebody named Seamus used to do in the community. Have all the beliefs and all the positions of a Christian, but not take the label. Therefore, they don't feel like they have to actually divide any kind of defense for the position, because they can just say, well, I'm not a Christian. I have all the same beliefs, but I'm not a Christian. I don't take the label because I'm not worthy enough. This is the same tactic I've seen other people use, trust me. And by the way, spontaneous generation is not the same thing as abiogenesis. Spontaneous generation was disproved by Louis Pasteur, and that was basically the belief that things came into an existence as well formed, not just life from non-life, and he's conflating the two.
Well, yeah, I was trying to figure out what he was actually asking me, and like him saying spontaneous generation and it being scientific and everything, I don't know, he's just that's why I was a little confused at first. I'm like, what is he trying to ask me? Oh, he's trying to ask me like stuff just popping into existence,
right?
And then he brought
that's
up
what it means. Yes, but that's not what he was asking, right?
I get a feeling that there's some point to, like, to me they seem very pointed questions. Like they're leading somewhere. I don't know if they are. I don't know if there's an end game there. When it gets back, we're gonna kind of wrap up and get any last minute thoughts out, but I think that, I mean, I don't know if you can hear me now, Brett, if you can, this is what I want to say ultimately though, listening to the questions and the back and forth, I get more confused on like where your beliefs are rooted and what you actually adhere to, than going the other way. I don't think that, I think that you're picking whatever feels good to you and going with that, which I mean, that's well within your right to do, but I don't think that you can come at atheists with, you know, God questions when your foundation is so all over the place. I mean, you're just picking and choosing from it's like an a la carte religion, I think. And so, I mean, I think that you should get yourself rooted before you go and try to tell other people, you know, why they shouldn't believe something that they believe. Just my opinion.
I think he's still peeing, which probably we all should have done. I had a lot of coffee this morning. I woke up really early and went out for coffee and feeling the effects.
Well, these questions are, I feel like they're fairly different than the ones that he actually asked, like in this video towards me.
Yeah.
Well, these have been questions Brett have asked for years. Same questions. There's nothing new on it.
I thought this would be more of a I didn't know it would go into a ask the question and then cut off and not have any kind of like back and forth or interaction with that. You know, he was very accepting of the answers that you were giving him, and it was turning in like more like an interview than anything. I don't know. I wish I could have gotten more from Brett on his end and why he's going in the direction that he's going.
Right. I mean, I kind of felt like the premise of the stream was kind of inquisition-y. I mean, it felt like I was just being sat down and told to answer questions for his amusement.
Get my headphones on.
Did everything come out okay in the end?
No, it was horrific. All right. So I appreciate your patience, guys.
Just to recap, Brett.
Hey, when nature calls, you got to answer that phone.
We can kind of get to a all on the same page. To me, I would have liked to have seen like some more interaction between you and GE. Like it seemed more like a like G said, like an inquisition where you weren't going to kind of either tell him what you felt about the questions that you were asking or going in a pointed direction, so that it was kind of like a conversation so that we could suss out what you actually believed and what, you know, what you were thinking in those situations. And so it would be good to kind of open that up a little bit on the, you know, the next time that you do these.
I completely appreciate what you're pointing out. I do believe, though, the way you represented what we were going to do was, I mean, even in the title, Brett Keene's going to ask questions. I'm more than happy to answer to the best of my ability. But that's the way it was represented.
I see what you're saying. But this is just me being honest, Brett. If I have questions for, like, let's say Steve, if I'm going to ask Steve some questions about something, because me and Steve don't agree on anything, so I could go, you know, be like,
boobs.
Steve, we agree. Why don't boobs. Colors exist? Why don't colors exist? Why, you know, why is doubt a virtue? And see, that would spark a back and forth between the two of us. You know what I mean? Like, when I say the asking questions, no, I didn't lay out that, you know, okay, you're going to ask this question and then he's going to say his answer and then you're going to, you know, go back and forth with that. It's supposed to open up a dialogue, because otherwise you're not getting anything out of it. You're just listening to someone's answer and not trying to get to the truth of the, you know, what the issue is. You know, you're just accepting
When I came in, I had watched a few of you guys' videos, and I noticed that you guys all express your opinions and views, and obviously you guys don't, it's not like the Borg here, you guys got all your own different ideas on how you see things, so I figured that would be what would happen. I ask a question, you guys talk about your view on it, and then it goes to the next guy, that's what I'm used to on a podcast kind of thing, so I apologize if I perceived this incorrectly.
Well, I mean, it's nobody's fault. I just think that there could have been a much more meaningful conversation if we had focused on, like, what we're all trying to wonder. I'll just put it out there. What we're all wondering is, where were the direction of the questions going? Because they seemed like they were pointed in a certain way. Like, what are you going to take away from this talk with GE?
Well, I personally am really happy that you guys invited me. I've enjoyed being able to have this conversation with you guys, and I feel like I've learned about where you're coming from and your understanding of the universe and life and all that. And as I said in my video, whenever I was telling people, hey, this is where I'm going to be, and I kind of plugged your video and all that, I said I'm hoping to learn something, and I'm open-minded. If my views can be changed on something, I welcome it. You did hear all that in my video, right?
I haven't actually seen that one. Do you, from today?
Okay. It's the video where I said I'm going to be on the non-sequitur show and all that. It's right before the Amazing Atheist interview and the Paul Zigo interview that I did.
The only one that I've seen is the one where you announced it that yesterday or something like that. But yesterday.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say that, like, I normally on this particular channel, when we have these kind of discussions, it's not just a sit down and you ask like one question right after another and you don't challenge the person on it. Like, normally it's you ask a question and then like that's kind of a topic you talk about for a little bit, and it's fine to bring up other questions, but I guess I was just expecting more of a conversation rather than like an interrogation.
Oh, I apologize if you perceived it as such. Go ahead. Sorry,
Brett. I think the pink elephant with the big dick in the room is more of along the lines of how much of a takeaway do you get from any of these answers? These are not the first time you've ever asked these questions. These questions you've asked for a very long time. You've gotten very similar answers, and in some cases, very technical answers from people that are very astute, that are experts in these particular fields. I when you ask the same questions in a way that it seems to be a little, honestly, disingenuous, when the answers have already been given to you, what are you trying to learn? If people have already explained it to you and explained in a way that you're going to hopefully understand, you're not at that point really learning anything, are you? Because you've already had the answers given to you.
Well, I'm always learning, because if you see some of my live hangouts and all that, I've had atheists answer in all kinds of different ways. Like, especially with the, would you pray for a dying person? I talked to a guy called Will Kincaid, who's a friend of TJ. He came in and he said that he would totally do it because he believes that he'd bring comfort to somebody in their last moments. But then Godless Engineer over here, he said that he felt like it would be... He feels like it would be an empty gesture. See, that's two different answers there. I've learned a view from each person.
Yeah, I grant, but those are not the scientific ones that you have gotten answers to.
I ultimately wanted to say that we, about probably 11 months ago, you and I actually did an interview together, and after that interview was over, I got a long text message from you the next day. A bunch of stuff about gay people, and then you put an article on your website about how gay people were akin to bestiality and just very disparaging things. And I remember sending you a message that day. You probably don't remember, because if you remember, you wouldn't have come on here. But I told you a year ago that there would come a day where I would be in the same hangout with you, and I would be able to tell you to fuck off and remind you what a piece of shit you are. And so today is that day. I haven't forgotten a year ago when you said all those disparaging things. I'm not going to forget. And it was a pleasure for me to sit through your bullshit, to be able to tell you to fuck off, Brett King.
All right. Well, which...
See you. Okay. So that was I needed to do that. Steve and I have... Steve, how long have I told you that I would be waiting for this day?
Almost a year. Actually, probably even...
So, a bit longer than that. I read those things that morning. We had a decent conversation the night before. It came out of nowhere, and he just started saying all this stuff about gay people and bestiality or whatever. And so I sent him a message. I said, there will come a day where I will be in a room with you and I will tell you to fuck off. And I waited a year and I got my day, Brett. So fuck you.
And the funniest thing is this, before we went out on air, Brett was saying that it was nice to meet both of us. Brett has no idea how far back I go with him. He doesn't recognize me because I've changed so much, but we have had multiple discussions with Brett. I have answered every question that he had asked John, every single question, and BK eventually had blocked me, but we have hung out together multiple times, both in his rooms and in other rooms with Sugar and Annabelle and a whole bunch of other people in the live chat right now that all remember these days. And yet he, for some reason, either A, doesn't remember any of this, or B, doesn't care to remember it. And this is when I brought this up as, why are you asking the same questions you always ask? Because he's had answers to these questions. I have obliterated him on these very questions. And he still asked them. And to me, that's a sign of duplicity, because he's not asking for honest sincerity in the answers. Now, granted, some of them are very fair questions. I think the questions about praying, that's a fair question, because it does change from person to person. You know, GE may have feel one way. I might feel another way. Those are just positions. So what? Those are opinions. No right or wrong answer, I don't think. However, when there are scientific questions, like he was asking him about the shrew question, he was asking about spontaneous generation, those have actual answers. When you're talking about the Big Bang, which he still doesn't really kind of comprehend, he's talking about Hawking and outside time. And by the way, cause and effect, not a real physical law. That's Aristotelian thinking. It's outdated. It's antiquated. We normally don't think that way anymore, because in quantum, it doesn't work that way. But this is when I have to ask, you know, is he really seeking knowledge? Is he seeking answer? No, not by any stretch of imagination. And BK, well, I hope you're still watching this, because I don't know how you forgot me, dude. I'm kind of, you know, a little bothered by that, because I've ribbed you a shred. Numerous times I've shredded you.
Go ahead,
well, Gene. Yeah, I mean, I pointed this out earlier in it. I don't know if you guys remember, but I said that, like, I don't think that you're really looking to learn anything from any of these questions. And I remember questioning, like, I don't see the point in any of these questions, because you're not here to learn about anything. Like, you're not open to
gotcha questions,
other answers.
Huh? Yeah, mm-hmm. They're all gotcha questions. They're all most of his questions. Again, I have to be fair. Some of his questions are legit questions. I don't have a problem with the prayer question and maybe one or two others, but all the other ones are equivocation. They're complex question fallacies. They're misleading, or leading one or the other. But yeah, they're
prayer
not
question doesn't
really
lead to anything point. Though. Like.
It no, but it's a fair question to ask, though. It's a hypothetical. I have no problem with hypotheticals.
Sure, it's a fair question to ask, but it doesn't get to the heart of what somebody believes. Because me, if you ask me that question, I'm an anti-theist, and if somebody was dying in front of me and asked me to pray for them, I would pray with them. I mean, it doesn't mean anything about what my beliefs are, right. Because I would do that to make somebody feel comfortable. It's not about religion in that case. It's about the person's feelings.
I don't get anything out of the question either.
Where do you go with that?
I found his questions to be completely vacuous. Like, there's no context given whatsoever. It's just like a random. It's like, like you were saying, it's not conversational. It's just it's a way for him to control the situation, I think.
Yeah, Godless Engineer. I thought that you would have a better chat with him. I hate to do that to you, but I at least thought that he would ask questions and it would go some direction, not just okay, you ready for your next question?
I think that's one thing that really tripped me up in the conversation in general, because I was expecting his questions to lead somewhere. Like, I was trying to figure out, okay, well, he's asking me this question. What is his real question that he's like? It felt like he was tap dancing around what he pointedly wanted to ask, and it felt. It just felt odd. So I think there was a couple times. Huh?
Do you remember the question he asked you about the shrew? That seems to be a little out of left field.
Oh, yeah.
It was. That was a question he had asked me a long time ago as well, because it deals with a common ancestry that goes back about 55 million years. And he's like, well, you believe you're descended from the shrew. And that's not what the story read. The story was actually talking about a common ancestor, but it's not a direct line of a descent, and he doesn't understand the difference between the two, just like he doesn't understand things like monophyletic and paraphyletic clades and groups like fish. This is why he's asked this question as well. Are you a fish? Well, again, depends on what you wanted to define fish as a group, then yeah, monophyletically, we are a fish. But fish generally exclude tetrapods, so no, we're not a fish in that regard.
Putting a pill in a cup and getting rid of GEs, that example of putting a pill in someone's drink, is that a legal thing? And not grasping that the consent is the linchpin there.
Criminality has to do with intent, and criminality has a lot of factors involved with it. This is why we differentiate between murder and justifiable homicide, right? There's a difference. But if somebody does something to you without your consent, that is assault. That's the difference between consensual sex and rape, right? They're the same act in some ways, right, physically speaking, but it has to do with consent. And if you're drugged, if somebody gives you a drug of any kind, has nothing to do with what it does to you biologically, if they give you something without your consent, that is assault and battery. So
he just he asked if you could have sex with a dead body. That's all you need to know. I'm going to pull up Super Chats.
Well, again, you look at, you know, as I put it in the live chat, society has determined that necrophilia is an immoral act, right? In of itself, probably not, right? I mean, sure, there's nothing ubiquitous in the universe that says everywhere if you have sex with a dead body, it's somehow intrinsically immoral. No, I think it's a cultural thing. And as a society, we've deemed it culturally inappropriate. What's wrong with that? It has nothing to do with atheism or theism. It's just, we've learned because it can lead to bad things. I mean, we don't do it, right? It's just considered to be culturally inappropriate.
Gee, you have any last minute?
When he was asking me that, like, I feel like I should have been a bit more pointed at, like, the whole fact that it was violating consent and everything like that. Instead, I pointed out, like, well, you know, if I punched you in the face, would that be criminal? It's like, of course that'd be criminal, you know, kind of thing. And so, I mean, I felt like I could have been a bit more direct, you know, in answering that particular question.
It wasn't a serious question, though, dude. Like, you answered it. Exactly, you answered it with the seriousness that the question was asked in. Like, anybody with a thinking brain knows that there's a huge difference between those two things. So like it, for you to have to sit there and force feed it to him to make it seem like it's, you know, it's just ridiculous. You answered it exactly the way that he deserved to get it answered. So I think you did.
Yeah, I didn't see any questions you got wrong or bad or anything like that. I mean, it's hard to answer duplicitous questions, honestly, to the best of your ability. You did well, but you really can't. You can't answer it in any way that's going to satisfy him, dude. I'm just telling you, because he's asked these questions numerous times to numerous people over the years, and he's not really looking for honest answers, because if he did, he wouldn't conflate things like spontaneous generation and abiogenesis, right? I mean, he should know the difference by now, you would think, right? I mean, let's be realistic. That's kind of basic. Well, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, he was playing that equivocation game the entire time. You know, he was equating two things that aren't equal, and he was trying to convolute the conversation. So I mean, it is kind of hard to answer those questions, and I know I just saw like reactions in the chat. It's like, would he just answer the question and all that? And it's just like, well, I mean, he's asking questions, but they're not so simple answers. So I'm trying to answer it honestly, and it's just
somebody had noticed in the live chat, I think it was Ozzy, that said something along the lines of, you know, Brett has gotten these concepts confused for ages, especially philosophical context, objective, subjective, all that stuff. He's got this completely wrong for a very, very long time, even though I know for a fact many people have explained it to him. So, I mean, one could either say that there's just an epistemic dysfunction there that he's not understanding and somehow is beyond his ability to, or he's just not honest. And I'm going with the combination of both, to be honest with you, but it's definitely more the latter. Yeah, definitely. All definitely.
Right, let's get these super chats out of the way real quick. Dan Palladino says, that must have felt good, Kyle. Glad you had your day. By the way, email me a couple possible open days. I will, Dan. Dan, we're going to get you on the show. I'll send that to you as soon as we close out from here. Annabelle P says, I am so pleased he got exactly what he deserved. Bram SLI1, I'm your hero. Nicely done. You need a better selection of heroes, Bram. I just kicked a manatee off of a live stream. That hardly makes me a hero. Go ahead.
I was really disappointed that we didn't get to see Brett Keane laying prone as he always does in every single fucking video.
Well, just to let you know, I prepared a special thumbnail for this occasion. I just didn't put it up because I didn't want to play my hand before. But I told you,
Kyle was waiting. I've been waiting to do that for a very long time.
Oh, he made me so mad a year ago. Just the shit he was saying, it made me so mad. I waited patiently though. Well, vegan.
He actually did make a blog. He actually wrote a blog. And he didn't name you in the particular blog, which I thought was pretty shitty because it was basically clearly talking about you. And it was basically relating, you know, homosexuality to pedophilia and all this other stuff. And yet he came on here and basically had a completely different story. And I'm just like, well, it's bullshit. This is not
more than that. You can go back a year ago and probably read it. But he was I had told him, because we had a conversation. I was interviewing him. So I told him why I left the faith and opened up and why, you know, why I left. And he used that against me in that article by saying that, I couldn't own up to the truth of who I was. And I was more happy being more so a somebody who practices bestiality. And I just remember I was like, I will, my day with you will come. And today was my day. So, yeah, I do feel good. Lysandrine says, if this guy can be on a show, then there's still hope for me. I don't think I can match the face-palminess entertainment of this guy, though. I may be too rational for that, so perhaps there really isn't much hope after all. That's true. Vercentrix evolution, something from nutting. That's very it was a very simplified way of putting it, but true. Renee Calusia, there's no burrows penetrating other burrows. Jim Majors, hey Jim, how are you, Jim? Are you still in the live chat?
Hey Jim.
How convenient is it that your interpretation of your religion parallels your personal morals? Vinox says, as someone who was there, I want to thank you, Brett, for providing my friend and I with some of the greatest entertainment of our lives, you individual. He's obviously not gotten over the drunken peasants and that whole thing. Because that one podcast has caused him to think that all podcasts are pedophiles and whatever else. So that's still a little touchy subject, apparently. Mark Beezer says, we know what just went to number one on Kyle's list of costume ideas for next Halloween. What is that in reference to? Let me know. Renee Love is bombarding children's websites with flat earth. Brian Stevens is pink because it's a shared experience. That must be in regards to the 10 foot cock that GE brought up. Charles Hartman, is it okay to sacrifice infants who prevent buildings from collapsing? God says okay. Christianity is a cult of human sacrifice and ritualistic cannibalism. Godless Fighter Jet says Brett Keane is irrelevant and is trying to latch onto the new hotness. He's not worth your table scraps, guys. Oh, well, thank you for calling us the new hotness. I'll take that. Vegan Atheist Coral says everyone post poop emojis in solidarity. That's funny. A bunch of poop balls and boring doers here. Degenerate says time. Just got three more. Sweet Heathen says GE. GE. She wants you to say this in your yelling voice. We need drugs to deal with you twits. She wants you to say that in your yelling voice.
Oh, we need drugs to deal with you twits.
That's actually hilarious. By the way, 7 subs for Philosophically Godless to 2,800. If 7 people are in this chat that are not subscribe to Philosophically Godless, you won't be disappointed. Go over there and do that real quick. Let's get him to 2,800 before we close out of this stream. You can do it. Athena, Goddess of Wisdom and Warfare, says, do not kid yourself, GE. He does not want to know anything. He just wants to make you look bad. He failed horribly at that. Gerard Sealing says, how would nature get rid of Brett Keane? He'll die. Athena again says, gee, do not let Brett get you with these gotcha questions. This is how he operates. People like Brett get an enjoyment out of making people look bad. Insulin Shocker says, Brett used all of these arguments. Like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I tried to not play into the gotcha question because I was trying to figure out what he was actually wanting to know or what he was actually trying to ask. So I don't know if that was the best strategy for those particular questions. Like, I don't know. What's the best way to handle those kind of gotcha questions?
I don't think you did anything that could be used against you. Now, however, you keep in mind this. BK is infamous for taking stuff, splicing, and putting on his channel to his advantage, right? So it doesn't really matter what you're going to say anyways. He's going to find a way to twist it. But anybody who goes back and watches this particular video as a whole can see you didn't fall for any gotcha things. So
the thing is, though, like literally no one, literally zero, I will bet my life on that, takes anything that he says seriously. Like, no one looks to Brett Keane for any type of guidance in life situations. So he can splice everything, like he can splice anything he wants, and no one is going to be swayed because he's been doing the shit for decades. Mm-hmm. And he's the same Brett King that he what, let me get through these last two super chats and then we'll close out. Brett used all these arguments like 6 years ago. Okay, the mind of God says God is good. Kent Hovind, CPA, Patrick Mahomes is good at football. And then I think there's one more.
Oh, he gave us $2 this time, so he must really like this one. Thank you, Kent Hovind, CPA.
0132132. Does necrophilia count as cheating in monogamous relationships? Absolutely not. That's a free pass. Tree Tramp says, thank you, Kyle. That was amazing. You're welcome. And Vinick says, Brett is a duplicitous liar. Love you, Kyle. I love you too. Okay, so yeah, in conclusion, for this stream, I at least thought we would get some sort of a decent conversation out of it. I actually am regretful and I feel horrible that I made you or I feel like I'm responsible for you having to sit through that, GE, but I honestly thought that it would at least, over everything, it would go in a direction that would be interesting to watch. Like yes, I'm going to get my revenge, you know, by the end of it, but at least it would have provided something, you know, of substance to watch. But so for that, I apologize.
Well, no. I don't think you need to apologize. I mean, I tried to be prepared coming into the debate, so I watched his video asking me questions like multiple times today, and like I did do research going into this. Like he asked, like, what is the evolutionary, benefit to grief or something like that. And so like I researched that, and I figured out what the scientific consensus about like the evolutionary reasons for grief. And so like, I mean, I did do research, but the problem was that going into this, I mean, he didn't like provide me with questions that he was going to ask other than that video. And like the very first question that he had for me tonight was completely different from where he started in the video. And I mean, it's not that it threw me off or anything, but it just like that question, any of the questions didn't really map to things that were in the video that he produced. So, yeah. I mean, it was kind of a blindside in that he didn't stick to the questions that he actually asked.
And you know, that's
it's kind of funny that he mentioned.
It's not shocking.
Yeah, it's kind of funny he mentioned a DMT, because I was just asking Kyle last night about I'm going to want to do an episode on DMT, and Shannon actually has some comments to make.
I forgot to let you bring it up, Steve. My bad.
No, so it's cool. No, it's okay. Well, first of all, there's no way BK would even remotely understand any of this stuff, right? But we are going to have some extras, hopefully, that I've got in touch with that could come on. They're going to talk about DMT. They're going to talk about the psychological effects and the philosophy of these types of things that you experience when you're on some kind of hallucinogenic, whether it be what's called neurotheological reductionism versus contextualism versus literalism. These are all philosophical positions of what you are experiencing. And I find that particular subject to be absolutely fascinating. And maybe Shannon can even come on and kind of explain biologically what happens when you die, why DMT is released, why it is an endogenous to us. It is actually a substance that exists in our own bodies. And maybe there is a correlation about why people see things the same across, you know, multiple different cultures because of biological reasons for it, because of what's called the quote spirit molecule. We are going to be having a hangout on that, and I think it's going to be an awesome hangout.
To close out for tonight, thank you guys for being patient. And I remember saying in the beginning, just to, when they're like, why do you seem like you're going easy on Brett Keane, Kyle? You just had to let me be patient. I have watched Brett Keane for a long time, and I followed him before or while he was doing the whole thing with the Drunken Peasants. And he has this cyclical habit about him where he will do duplicitous things, need to leave YouTube, come back, start out saying that, oh, he's turning over a new leaf. He wants to be nice to everybody. He wants to have conversations with everybody. Tomorrow you will see umpteen videos about what happened here tonight. He will go directly back into
a horrible, horrible man that kicked him out. That's what it's going to be.
The thing that you're immoral atheist was fighting against. I mean, he's like a book. Anybody that you ask, same thing. But what he said and what he compared, you know, homosexual people to a year ago, I couldn't forget. And it was worth it to me to do what I need to do to get him in here, just so that I can let him know that somebody that claims to have moral high ground over me, somebody that claims that what I do in my lifestyle is that I sleep with animals or that I want to touch children. Anybody that can say those things a year ago and then come in here when G asked him about how he feels about homosexuality, he's always fine with it. He's absolutely fine with it.
Yeah, it was bullshit. That was bullshit.
He is the most full of shit person I have ever met. And there, with somebody who's had enough chances, the guy gets so many people that goes into his hangouts to talk to him. I don't know why, but he could have turned over a new leaf at any point in time over the past 6 years. He didn't. What he is he's stuck on drama. He's a deranged, sick, twisted individual, and the situation with him is that he will never change until he is either booted off of YouTube or somebody takes him off of there physically, whatever's going on in their home life. But Brett, if you're listening to this later on down the road, I want you to know that you don't fool anybody anymore. When you said that you were coming in here and people don't know about your history or whatever, everybody knows about your history because you are that duplicitous. And so you need to take a step back and look within yourself and what you've got going on before you have the nerve to sit in a hangout with somebody and try to question them on what they believe and what they don't believe in and why they don't think this works or why they don't believe in this. You have a lot of fucking nerve when you are scum of the earth and you're trying to berate people for the beliefs or lack of beliefs that they have. So for the last time, because this would be the last moment I ever give you, because after this, Brett Keane is no more to me. Fuck you. And tonight was completely worth it.
Yeah, I tried to set him up to see like where, you know, where he sat on the whole homosexuality issue, because you had that problem with him. So I was really surprised when he said that. And yeah, I didn't want to take that away from you by saying anything about it during the stream.
How does he not remember How does he not remember you? Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm glad you asked.
But how does he not remember you? And how does he not remember me? It's like, I mean, granted, I look completely different than it was. It's been a year or two since I've spoken with BK, but I don't know whether to believe him or not.
With a normal person.
Maybe he's thinking you didn't remember him.
No, with a normal person, interactions like that, you're going to remember, because it's impactful to some level. Like, there's a disturbance. There's a disagreement. He does this so much and does this so often that he can't keep track of who he is comparing to what anymore, and it just is just one big blur. Yeah, that's a week later you couldn't even remember it. That's how duplicitous he is. And so GE, do you have anything that you want to plug or that you have coming up or that you want to you know, say before we close out for the night?
No, I mean, I just got my normal grind going on this week, although tomorrow's not a daily Bible podcast. It's going to be a flat earth video, because Casey's a little under the weather, and we just didn't have time to get one out this week. So, but that we got comments on Wednesday, and then on Thursday it's going to be a another flat earth video, as well as Friday. So we got a lot of flat earth going on this week, but it's kind of like filler, you know, for because it's Christmas and everything like that. We do have a special Christmas podcast that's planned for the next week though, where we talk about, you know, the origins of Christian, like the Christian birth narrative, basically, is what we're going to be going over. So,
a Casey and G Christmas special,
huh? A Christmas special,
a Casey,
because Tuesday is Christmas, and that's when our podcast usually drops. So,
I can't believe that this Christmas already. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I have so much shopping to do. So much shopping to do. Okay, Steve, you have anything?
No, I think I pretty much said all I need to say. Like I said, I have many times spoken with BK on these very same topics, and this is why it was very difficult for me to sit through all this and listen to him ask these questions as if he's trying to be really honest. Oh, I'm just asking these questions. Oh, it's like nobody's buying into this anymore. People know he doesn't give a shit about these. These are all just gotcha things. I don't know who the hell he thinks he's fooling any longer, but it certainly ain't me. He hasn't ever fooled me. It certainly isn't Kyle, and it certainly isn't GE. So that's all I got to say on it.
And that is how you handle Brett Keane. Thank you guys for joining us. I really appreciate it, and for staying patient with us. Tomorrow, Simon Dan, we're going to be doing what we did yesterday, where we're going to be answering, responding in live time to some flat Earth videos. Yeah, I'm still a little angry, so I need to smoke some marijuana and get back to my happy place. And we'll see you back here. Yeah,
you got your post show little ritual that you do, right?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Don't forget to broadcast to all the little kids when you're smoking and eating your cereal.
Hold on. Oh, okay. I was getting ready to say, wait a minute. How much do you know? I literally got
clearly.
Literally got frightened there. I was like, wait a minute.
No. I just meant eating the cereal part, not the other stuff.
I know that's the thing though. What you were asking me is completely innocent. Like having a bowl of cereal. I'm over here sweating. Like, what did he see and when? Okay. Obviously I need to go. But yes, I will be having my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. If you didn't know, that is my post show ritual. I always have a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm a 5-year old. I know. So, yeah, glad it wasn't that other ritual. Can't be that one. But you guys have a good night. You guys have a good night, and we'll see you back here tomorrow with Cy Man Dan.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncorrelated.